Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Amen. Just last Sunday, Terry Merriman gave me an article clipped from the Dallas Morning News. She knew that I was going to the Holy Land on pilgrimage in May, and the article was titled, "Church of the Holy Sepulchre Shines Bright." The article explained that the restoration of the 12th-century-old Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem was finally finished. This is great news, as it means that when we visit in May, we can look at the place where we are told Jesus was entombed and resurrected, but without any scaffolding. The article explains that the shrine needed urgent attention after years of exposure to environmental factors like water, humidity, and candle smoke. The restoration also required each stone slab to be cleansed of candle soot and pigeon droppings. This renovation of this holy site took time and it took work. Repairs began in June of 2016, and only in the past few weeks did they finish. The article also mentions, and I quote, "Three main Christian denominations jealously guard separate sections of the church, but they put aside their long-standing religious rivalries to give their blessing for the restoration." In order for restoration to happen, long-standing grievances and rivalries had to be put aside, and blessing had to take their place. They let go of their territory in order for their place of worship to experience restoration. This week, as I listened to this part of the Lord's Prayer, "Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil," I focused my attention for our sermon series, and I kept fighting a certain uncomfortable feeling. Every time I prayed it, I kept rolling through memories that brought back grief, regret, conviction, and shame. I felt a sense of coldness, the stale smell of years of held breaths while people have awaited their trials. And then, in response to the memories and the feelings it evoked, I heard the prayer again. "Lord, please, may I be saved from my time of trial. May I be delivered from my own evil." This might be a prayer you know. It might be something like a prayer you've prayed. I wonder if it is a common prayer for all of us when we await something we dread or feel the weight of shame, grief, or conviction. "Lord, please save me from the time of trial. Please deliver me from evil." This is not a prayer unknown to Christ. It is the prayer he offers in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus essentially prays, "If it is possible, save me from the time of trial. Deliver me from evil." Within the context of this prayer, he asks his disciples who are with him for one thing. He says, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." I imagine Christ listening for anything but silence. And yet silence is exactly what he received. Danielle Schroyer spoke just this past Wednesday evening on her book, Where Jesus Prayed, Illuminating the Lord's Prayer in the Holy Land. And in that book, she writes this about her trip to the Garden of Gethsemane. "In his greatest hour of need, in the most vulnerable space a human can occupy, he needed not saviors, not fixers, but friends. And God help us, we fell asleep instead." When Christ yearned to not be alone, to hear anything but silence, we were silent. We were asleep. And more daunting, It feels like God was silent. The cup did not pass. His betrayer was at hand. In the garden, Christ was not saved from the time of trial. He was not delivered from evil. He was instead delivered into trial, into evil, so that we experience a restoration that can only be given to us by the love of God. But our being saved from trial, our deliverance from evil, that does not mean we can avoid it. No, inevitably, you have already faced many trials and seen much evil. But neither the experience of the trials or the horror of evil will be the power that has the last word over your life. Both for Christ and for us, deliverance from trial and evil means not avoiding it, but going through it and seeing the other side. Yes, we are saved from the time of trial and delivered from the power of evil, both through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. But we will also still find ourselves praying in a garden of grief, regret, conviction, shame. And when we find ourselves there, we might pray to God, asking not for saviors, not fixers, but friends. As we are awakened to God and to ourselves, we might see how Christ meets us in the garden where he too prayed, how Christ walks with us through the time of trial, how Christ meets us on the other side of evil. We might see how, through the love and forgiveness of God, we can be restored in time to our joyful selves. And I wonder if he shows us that the only thing that keeps us sitting within ourselves, sitting within shame, is us. It is our time, it is in our time that we can ask for the freedom for forgiveness, and it is because of our words and deeds that we will feel conviction again. But the opportunity for restoration always lies in reach, through prayer, even after centuries of time have taken their toll. We can always put aside our long-standing rivalries and grievances to make way for deeper worship. Our souls, like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, experience wear over time. The greatest architect in the world cannot prevent this. Even God cannot protect us from the weight of conviction and grief, from the need to be saved from trial, from the need for deliverance from evil. And yet there is always restoration. Even 12 centuries of wear can be washed clean, cleansed of candle soot and pigeon droppings, restored yet still showing its original beauty, but now shining brighter. Bonnie Burnham of the World Monuments Fund said this about the restoration of the church. "I would venture to say that if this intervention hadn't happened now, there was a very great risk that there could have been a collapse. And we risk the same fate of collapse. We find ourselves in the season of Lent called to self-reflection that will most certainly beg us to ask for restoration. So then, now is the time to ask God for our restoration. Now is the time to ask that our candle soot, the collected dirt of our lives, be wiped away, so that we are saved from the time of trial, delivered from evil, restored to our original beauty, but shining brighter. If 12 centuries of soot can be removed, how much more can you be cleansed from the dirt of your years? No matter your time or transgression, you can be restored through the love and forgiveness of God." I do not say that restoration is easy, but I do think restoration is possible. This hard work may cost us our time. It will cost us some of our pleasure, but it will give us back our souls. If the hands of humankind can remove 12 centuries of dirt, how much more can the Lord your Father, our Father, remove the dirt of our lives? In Christ, you are saved from the time of trial. You are delivered from the power of evil. You are restored with your original beauty intact, but now shining brighter. Amen.